Bringing your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk, and I'll give you a clue. It's in the Old Testament as one of the minor prophets. And while you're turning there, is where our message will be found today. I want to thank Reverend Gibbons and Brother Joe for opening up in the reading of the scripture and prayer. I do have a couple of things to share with you. First of all, we will be having a memorial service for Rita Alexander. That's going to be on this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock. The memorial service for Rita Alexander will be here at the Crossroad Baptist Church at 1 p.m. on next Saturday. Also, the Marshall family, we ask that you pray for them. The grandfather of Kendall Marshall and the father of Vanessa Marshall. That service will also be next Saturday at 1 p.m. And Mr. Marshall is from the Brookneal area. And so we ask that you pray for the family. Finally, Sunday school. I'm going to put that on Zoom. I'm going to be Zooming in. Now, you will need a link, so I'm asking that you would email pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we will include you in the link for the Sunday school lesson. We're going to try out that on Zoom this week, and we'll be at 7 p.m., and you will join the main Bible study, but then we're going to have breakout rooms for the Sunday school. And we're going to try some stuff we've never been at before. So, Gary, we hope it works. If it doesn't work, then blame me. So, we ask that the Lord would help us to share that Zoom. And this would give us an opportunity to evangelize. Now, sharing the gospel is as simple as clicking on a link. Sean sends out every Monday an email to the youth, and we share that. We send it out. We send it to other people. So we're really spreading the gospel electronically. And none of us thought at the beginning of the year that we'd be evangelizing like that, and yet we're doing it. So this coming Wednesday night on Zoom, we're going to have our Sunday school, and the email, you will need that. You send it to pastor@crossroadbc.com, crossroadbc.com, and then we will be able to include you in that link. Amen? Let's turn in the Bibles to Habakkuk. If you haven't found it, then I'll just read it for you. Some of you that have your electronic devices, you can probably find it already on your electronic device. But this minor prophet writes in his second chapter, verses 1 through 3, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we share with you the message today, clear vision, clear vision. Let us pray. Father, again, we thank you for this awesome opportunity to be blessed today to join in your worship service, whether it be online through Zoom, or whether it be on Facebook Live, or in the parking lot, or in this sanctuary, wherever people are listening right now over the radio waves of WLLL. God, wherever they're listening, I pray that you would touch their heart with your word. And Lord, that you would bless them to have understanding so that they might know that you are God. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity to join with our brothers and sisters wherever they are. And Lord, I bless us. I pray that you would bless us now and our time together. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Habakkuk, as we have learned from our reading of the Bible, was one of those prophets. He was not one what we call a major prophet, but he had a major message. As one of the minor prophets, he was one that talked about God's judgment on the people of Israel. Habakkuk was concerned that God was going to, first of all, deal with his people. Habakkuk thought that judgment would come swiftly, so he had a concern. Lord, why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? And I can't see. I can't perceive in my mind why you wait so long to punish people that are doing evil. And Habakkuk was concerned about that. But then he also had a concern that now that God was bringing punishment on the punished people of Israel, God was concerned, Habakkuk was concerned about the fact that God would use the wicked Chaldeans, people who were worse than the people of Israel, to correct them. These were the concerns that he had. And so he went to God. He said, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to stand upon my watchtower. I love the way he brings this out. He said, I'm going to stand upon my watch and see upon the tower, and I will watch to see. In other words, he's waiting for God to send the revelation of his word. He's waiting for God to speak to him clearly so that he can get a better vision. What he sees is clouded. What he sees is burdened. What he sees is very blurred. His vision is impaired. And now he's wondering what I'm going to do. Rather than throw up his hands and say, I'll just accept the vision that I have, he's praying for God to give him clear vision. There are a lot of people in this series of life that we're living in. During this pandemic, things have gotten very blurred. And when things get blurred, you have the chance of endangering yourself or someone else because you don't know where you're going. You're stumbling about. You're wondering what the next step will bring. This thing about blurred vision is very dangerous, and yet there are many people who are living there. Notice I said living there. They can't see the next day. They don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And by the way, Jesus has already said, don't worry about tomorrow because life has plenty enough problems for you today. But people are puzzled over the future. They are puzzled. They cannot see beyond their present circumstance. And what you need, ladies and gentlemen, is clear vision. Now, I realize that as I deal with this text today, I'm going to be dealing with our contemporary issues, but I don't want to lose sight of what Habakkuk is saying, because what God shows him is truly revolutionary in his life. It's going to release him from the bondage of his present circumstance. Whenever you've got issues that you're dealing with right now and they're overwhelming you, they're putting so much pressure on you, you have a blurred vision of God. And you don't want to go forward with that because you'll become bitter, you'll become anxious, you'll get to the place where you'll say to yourself, well, why am I still believing in God if God hadn't done what I wanted him to do? Why am I still trusting in him? And you never want to go there. You never want to go there. You want to be like Habakkuk. Wait a minute. If I can't see where I'm going, then let me just wait until God sends his word. Let me just allow God to speak to me and clear things up. Right now, things are very cloudy. It's very foggy. And you can't see. You don't know what the next step is going to bring. Why not wait upon God to clear your vision? Before you take that drastic step, well, if this doesn't happen by this time, then I'm going to do this. Well, really, you can't do anything without God helping you. You really can't make that next move that you're planning on, and you don't want to plan your own future. You don't want to go there because God has already designed it to where he will do mighty things in your life. Please remember this. God is a patient God. He is long-suffering, and he doesn't respond to things by just a knee-jerk reaction to things. Everything God does is based on a plan, and he shares that plan with you. Here's Habakkuk saying, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to get me up into a tower. I'm going to climb up spiritually as high as I can get. I'm going to get to the mountaintop of my faith, and that from there, I will look for God. I will wait on him because I know he's coming. Have that reassurance today. In the 1970s, there was a young man born from Kingston, Jamaica. He wrote a hit tune entitled, I Can See Clearly Now. Johnny Nash wrote those lyrics, but I think it can speak to our day in which we live. Listen to the words. I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that made me blind. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. I know it's hard for us to say that right now. But Nash goes on to say, here's the rainbow I've been praying for. I think I can make it. The pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Now, where is he getting his hope from? He said, I prayed for the rainbow. You know what? A rainbow is a reference to Noah in the Old Testament, where he said, I'm going to look. And God said, I'm going to send you a sign that when I send a storm over the earth, the rainbow will appear. I want to ask you a question. Where's the rainbow in your life? Or has your blurred vision, has it caused you to miss the rainbow? Look at somebody and tell them, don't miss the rainbow. The pandemic has everything now where people are confused and they're wondering what's going to happen to our loved ones, what's going to happen to our medical system, what's going to happen to our children that can't learn, what's going to happen? I can tell you what's going to happen. God is going to happen. Amen. Almighty God has everything under control, and it's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. The Lord himself shall appear. The Lord himself shall give us clear vision. Habakkuk was willing to say, I have problems with my insight. Notice he said, as I stand on that tower and as I look for God, I'm going to see what he will answer me. And notice the next part of that verse, and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. In other words, I need correction. How many of us go to God and we're willing to say, God, I'm looking at this wrong. I know I'm looking at this wrong, but that's all I can see right now. I'm so mad. I'm so frustrated. I'm so confused. This is all I can see, but I'm willing. I'm willing to allow you to show me the clear vision. I've been there. Matter of fact, God reproved me this past week and told me, you're looking at it all wrong. You know how when you get mad at people, you know people are doing wrong? And I told God, I'm kind of like Habakkuk. I'm getting it. I said, wait a minute, God. I said, this is no mistake. This is what I see. And you know what God said to me? You're not looking at the end of the matter. You're looking at it as you go through it. Remember, look for the rainbow. I know the lightning is still flashing. The thunder is raging. But look for the rainbow. If you look for the rainbow, you're going to see the promises of God. We're seeing some things in our day and age, much as Habakkuk did. We're seeing the wrongs that are done, the ills that are happening. Our vision has become blurred. It boggles our mind how wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. It blows our mind when we think about understanding this age in which we're living in, where there seems to be no judgment. But you're not the first one to arrive at that place. Isaiah wrote, he says, judgment is turned away backward. He went on to say, injustice stands afar off, for truth has fallen in the street. I've never seen so many people lie in this day and age. I've never seen a generation like this. They're the lyingest folk that you ever seen. And then they will tell you, but I'm telling the truth. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You know what the Bible says? Let every man be a liar, but let God be justified. Every one of us, we have our false vision because we see a certain arrangement of circumstances and we draw the conclusion, if this is this, then that must be that. And God is saying your vision is blurred. You cannot go into your future. You can't even witness for God until you get your vision right. What are you looking at? Where are you looking? If you want a clear vision, then you must look to God. The Bible tells us that he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Let me give you a couple of things that will cause us to be have this blurred vision. I know a lot of us, I see you wearing eyeglasses, so I would assume that you've had a thing called eye examinations. And you go in there, and the person, the ophthalmologist, or whoever's attending to you, what they will tell you is look at this chart and try to read it. Now, the point is, you used to look at things with your glasses, right? And you were accustomed to looking at things with both eyes, but now they cover one of your eyes, and guess what? Lo and behold, that's the good one. Now you can't see. Now you're trying to make out from the chart. What did that chart say the last time I read it? A-E-N, I think that's a G. You know, we look at that, but the first thing that the doctor wants to find out is what is the problem with your vision. You're in the medical examination room of God Almighty right now. And God is saying, read the chart. And we're saying, God, I can't because my eyes are blurred. But the wonder and the beholdment of God is the fact that he tells us, look above the chart and see the rainbow. If you can see the rainbow, you may not be able to read the writing on the wall, but if you could just see the rainbow, God tells you, I'm with you. I will not break my covenant with you. So the first thing that happens when we're in this examination room for insight, not just sight, but for insight. My problem in life is a lot of times I'm going by sight, what I see, rather than what it means. God does not want you to have sight. He wants you to have insight. And if he were to examine us today, he says the first thing that must happen in this examination is that you need to admit you got a sight problem, an insight problem. You cannot see what God is showing you because you keep drawing your conclusions. This plus this does not equal that in the eyes of God. While we say everything is going wrong, God says everything is going according to plan. But Lord, I see injustice. God says, I know, but justice will prevail. Righteousness will get back up. My mother said something to me one time, and she said, you cannot give up on righteousness because righteousness will prevail. And you don't even have to defend it because it will defend itself. As a matter of fact, it will defend you. So what do? When we're in this examination room, when God begins to look at us, we confess. One of the wonderful things that the church is built on is the fact that you can confess. And you don't have to always confess. Well, you do have to confess your sin, but you also have to confess the fact you can't see it. And if we would confess our wrong, if we would confess our failure, God is righteous, God is holy, and God will forgive your sin. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You know, the wonder of wonders is that every time you leave that eye exam, he'll give you a prescription, and he'll tell you, here's what you need to take to get your glasses filled or get the prescription for your glasses so that you can see clearly. God does the same thing when we're in his insight examination. Second thing that happens with this, when you're being examined by God for insight, what he wants to know is, do you trust me? Do you trust me? It's easy to trust God when you're on the mountaintop. Everything is going good. Checkbook balances. Car always starts when you've turned the key. It's easy to trust God. It's easy to trust him when you've got food on your table, when you've got good health. But what happens when one of those things is jeopardized? More importantly, what happens when those things seem to be crumbling down? What do you do then? God shows us that rainbow, and in the rainbow of his revelation, he tells us, trust me. You can trust God when things are going good, but trust him also when things are not going good, when you got tears streaming down your face, when you wake up after midnight and you're walking the floor because you don't know what you're going to do, be assured, beloved, God knows what he's going to do. His plan will not fail. His promises will not fail. God will show you that rainbow. I'm about to get happy up here because I know that God is the one who brings you through this life. He never promised us that the way would be easy. We love to quote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. And we leave it right there. But did you not know the psalmist got to the place where he couldn't see what was ahead? And he said that as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not me, but God is with me. God is the one that keeps us and leads us through. Look for your rainbow. Look for the fact that God is with you. Don't lose your trust in him. Now, granted, man's going to let you down. Amen. Man's going to let you down. You know, B.B. King sang the blues, and one time he wrote a blues song. He said, it's bad when you can't trust nobody but your mama, and then your mama might be jiving too. Some people are that way. But when you're trusting in God, you know he never fails. You know that he will never let you down. He may not come when you want him to, but his own time. Third thing, as we look at this examination, we have to admit that we've got a problem. Our problem is with insight, but then also we must admit that we've got to make sure we're trusting in the Lord. But then the third thing before you leave the examination is the fact that you need to ask God to help you as you struggle to see the future. That's what Habakkuk did. Habakkuk said, let me get as high as I can with my faith. His metaphoric words here actually paint the picture of someone climbing into a watchtower. What that watchman would do from that tower, he would see if there were any invading armies. He would look from that watchtower and see if there were any threats that were coming his way. And from the watchtower, he would sound the warning. Habakkuk, being a prophet of the Lord, he wanted to sound the warning, but his eyes had become blurred and he could not see. So he said, I'm going to stand as high as I can. I'm going to get as high as I can in my faith, and then I'm going to ask God, show me the future. Show me the future. Have you ever gotten to the place where you were so depressed with life to where you felt like, Lord, I don't think I can go on? Moses was there, had over 1 million people in the middle of the desert, and all of them grumbling and complaining. We want food, we want food, we want this, we want that. And Moses got so troubled, he said, God, I need to see something else other than this. Have you ever gotten there? Have you ever been in that place where everybody and everything seems to be getting on your last nerve? Maybe you ought to look for the rainbow. Moses asked God, Lord, show me one thing. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said before he went back to heaven, I'm going to send you another comforter. Please listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to send you another comforter that he will abide with you forever. In our times of trouble, when we are getting this blurred vision, we miss the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is right there with us. As a matter of fact, he's on the inside of you. When you accepted Christ, you have accepted the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into all truth. But now you've got all of these things swirling around in your head, confusing your mind, getting you all upset to where you can't see the Holy Spirit. And what you're doing is actually grieving him. He's saying to you, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm here to lead you. I'm here to guide you. Don't go down that path, and yet we do it because we've got blurred vision. And then his miraculous power finally reveals to us there's a rainbow. Some of you sitting in this audience today or listening online, you begin to lose your hope because you see life as just a bad thing. Some of us who are getting older in years, we're looking at, well, the fact I might not be here but a couple more years. Don't look at it as being a devastating thing. If you pass on from this life, guess where you're going? Amen. If you leave this world, I mean faster than a blink of an eye, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you grieving about? You're getting ready to go to the best place that you've ever been in any time. You're getting ready to enter the presence of Almighty God. As a matter of fact, when you leave here, he's already got your room ready. When you leave here, God got everything settled just the way that he planned it. So we've got to believe that there is a future. America is struggling now. The world is struggling now because they're saying we might not have a future. But let me just preach to you for just a minute. The same God that made yesterday, the same God that made today is the same God that made tomorrow. Look for your rainbow. Look for your rainbow. Now that we have our vision corrected, now that we can see clearly now that the rain is gone, the storm has passed over, you might still have exterior things happening, but on the inside, you got the peace of God that passes all understanding. You don't need to leave this service today in sigh and agony. You can leave here with your head lifted high, knowing that God is your keeper. He is your shade at your right hand. He's the God that brought you through the many trials that you've had before, and he's going to lead you to his destination. My destination is not to my next problem. My destination is glory. I remember growing up in the country, when you get on that old Greyhound bus, it was stopping every little town. And we didn't have a ticket. Grandma had the ticket, so we were just traveling. Soon as the bus stopped, we ready to get off. She said, this ain't your stop. This is not your stop. A lot of us, when we run into trouble and it stops us in our path, that's just a temporary thing. Don't get off the bus. Keep on keeping on in your faith. Your destination is into the future. Vision correction means that God is coming to our life. And the Lord of glory is entered into our circumstance and into our situation. Hebrews 12:1 says, for us to get a better vision, we must look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's what I call God help. God help. When you are looking to man to help you, you get limited help. But when you look to God to help you, you've got Almighty on your side. Do I have any witnesses here today? So you must see things God's way. You've got to stop looking at it and drawing conclusions based on a few evidential things. It's not the end of the case yet. A lawyer has to convince the jury that the case goes this way, and so they argue it. But let me tell you something. When you come before the judgment seat of God, you don't argue your case. You simply put it in the hands of the Lord and let him make the judgment. Because when you put it in God's hand, when you stop saying to yourself, I'm justified, nobody is justified in the sight of God. But when you see Jesus, when you have him in your life, you stand justified. You stand covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And God says to you, you're righteous because you now see who you really are. Here's the point I want to get at. Don't let life rewrite your identity. You hear what I say? Don't let life rewrite your identity. What I mean by that, because you failed does not mean you're a failure. Oh, y'all mighty silent on me. Because you messed up doesn't mean you get a label that says messed up. Because you had burdens, that doesn't mean you put the label on your life, burden. My grandma, when she would can, she would write on the top of that mason jar, string beans. Next one, she would write peaches. Next one, she would, come on, Al, you know what I'm talking about. Pear preserve. So that when she went in, she didn't expect for that label to change because guess what? That old mason jar was sealed. Y'all, I can't, I went too far in the country for you. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Your life is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Nobody can get on the inside and change who you are. But what you can do is live a confused life and think that's who you are. But I'm telling you here right now, devil, you didn't make me. Devil, you don't own me. Devil, I'm not under your control. I belong to the Holy Spirit, and can't nobody change my label. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. Doesn't that feel good to say that, to believe that, to hear that? You're kept by God. I got to close this message. But our clear vision can impair a lot of things in life so that when God moves, we can't even see him moving. Another episode of one of the prophets in the Bible, the town that Elijah was in had been surrounded by the enemy. And so the servant of the prophet, he got up, he looked out, you know, he's stretching and yawning, and all of a sudden he sees these enemy troops, this army surrounding them. He ran back and told Elijah, he said, listen, there's a whole army out there, and what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And Elijah looks back at him and says, oh, we got more on our side, and they got there on their side. So he goes back out. He counts 200 troops, 1,000, 5,000. And then he goes back and look at Elijah and says, 1,000. Wait a minute. I don't see it. And the prophet prayed this prayer, Lord, open his eyes. And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw not the enemy, but he saw the forces of God all in the mountain, the fire that was in the mountain, the chariots of God surrounding them. Then he understood. My prayer today is that you would not only see the rainbow, but look at the mighty forces of God that are around you. The mighty hand of God is upon you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. You are kept. And what you need to maintain is clear vision. Amen. Well, I left that medical examination on my eyes, and they put this stuff in there that caused your pupils to be dilated. And what that is that you got more light coming in that you perceive than what you had before. So I'm driving down the road trying to see my way. But guess what? I could see clearly. As you press forward in life, God will put some Holy Ghost drops in your eyes so you can see clearly. Sometimes it's real bright, but you can see clearly that God is with you. Father, we thank you so much. I know many times, Lord, we're some bad patients. We need our eye exams, and we think, oh, I can see fine. That's not the case. The case is we cannot see what you see, and we know that you've come to help us. So bless us now with the clear vision of God, that we might see the rainbow in life, that we might see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Lord, your songster said, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord. That's what we need to see today. But more importantly, we need to follow that. Forgive us for our sin. Forgive us for the things that have blurred our vision. And help us today to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And keep looking. Keep looking up. I pray this prayer in the strong name, the mighty name of Holy Jesus. We thank you for it. Amen. And amen. Did God bless you today? Amen. I tell you what, I preach to myself. We're going to get ready to leave. As you do, we ask that you'd leave your offerings. As you go out, I do want to share a couple of things before we close out in prayer. Please pray for Reverend Ray. He's had some ankle problems that he's not able to make it out today. So he asked that we pray for him. Also, this comes from James Patterson, Jr., and family, Pastor Coleman and church family, thank you for your kindness and for everything you do to make God's world a brighter place by simply being you. So that's from James Patterson. We also have a thank you with special thanks. And this is to my Crossroad family for everything you've done, for being a special people that you are. Thank you so much. And he writes also that he thanks the church for his graduation gift, and also thank you for being a church of love and caring for them in the passing of his dad. And to my Crossroad family, Jarius Hillman. So let's remember them and continue to keep them in prayer. God is an awesome God. Amen? Amen. So we're going to get ready to close. As you go out, I know some of you all, as you get ready to go out, you got to adjust your glasses, because some may have those that the tint changes with the light, all of that. But leave here today with a clear vision that you know God, that you will serve him and honor him with all your heart, mind, and soul. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand as we prepare to close. Father, as we come to the end of this service, we do thank you for opening our eyes, for allowing us to see who you are, and that we might be a blessing to others. Send us out now as those who have seen the light, who've seen the glory of the Lord. And Lord, may we share that glory with others. Now may the grace of God, may the love of Jesus, may the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide in our hearts, both now and forever. And all the saved people of God said, amen. 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 God bless you.